Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning and to worship God again. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. Blessed by the singing of the songs for sure this morning and the discussions and devotional as well. So we thank those worship leaders for leading us in that. This week I was exposed to the need for mercy in church members. I began to realize once again it is a missing ingredient to good church life is not in performance or religious do's and don'ts. They are important, but in the ability to show mercy on our fellow church members and help them through the mistakes and sins that they have made, found themselves in, it is a much acknowledged truth, but so easy it is not to be merciful. The church I was working in was an example of faithfulness and mercy in many ways, but yet they came to this place where they were having a little difficulty, and there were individuals in that church that needed mercy, and so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Blessed are the merciful. Where does that come from? I think probably most of you know. Where does that verse come from? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 7, I believe it is. Let's go there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay. What happens when we're merciful? Anybody? We'll have a forgiving spirit. Okay. Someone else? We shall obtain mercy. There's a judgment day coming someday when we want mercy for sure, right? So what do we do? How do we characterize our lives and what do? Well, we're merciful to the people we meet and the people that need mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, there might be an obtaining of mercy here in life. I believe there is. When we're merciful, why people tend to be merciful to us. And we're going to go through this message in a lot of ways. This message is kind of simple teaching, but as I see the need in churches, I think maybe we should teach on mercy more, and teach vigorously and go over it again and again, because it is mercy that is so. It is mercy that is so important. Mercy is compassion or forbearance to an offender. Mercy or compassion or forbearance to an offender. So what that is mercy is when someone offends us that we have mercy on them anyways. He's an offender. He's offended us. And we have mercy on him anyway. So why, you know, it seems like in many churches and many individuals, when somebody offends us, why, we get on the phone and we get on we text everybody and we tell what the problem is and we make it a big deal. But mercy is given when a person makes a mistake. Is that simple enough? Mercy is given when a person makes a mistake or has sinned. Now, Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us?
All.
All. You? Me? Everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all need mercy, right? We need mercy. Because the judgment against sin is death. And if we're going to live, we're going to have experienced mercy. Sin is a problem for us. Sin is a problem for us, all of us. And, you know, as the verse says there in Romans 3:23, for we all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we not only have sinned, we have come and we're imperfect representing God's glory and so forth. Now let's go to Luke 6:36. Turn with me to Luke 6:36. It says, be ye therefore merciful. How? Let's have a response. How should we be merciful? As your Father also is merciful. Now, how was he merciful to you? As your Father was merciful. That's our standard. How was he merciful?
He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
That's true. That's a good answer. The other answer I have is that God commendeth his love toward us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then it goes on and says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were what? We were reconciled to God. Let's go back and pick that up. When we were, fill in the blank. Almost right. What was that? Enemies. When we were enemies, what did God do? He died for us. And we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. and so forth. That is how love, like our Heavenly Father, is to reach out in love even to our enemies. That's how we are to love, like our Father did, to reach out to even enemies in mercy. So today, we got a project here to describe mercy, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that right. I would like you to welcome you all to this discussion. And we want to look at first principles of mercy, and then we want to look at ripples of mercy. Principles of mercy, and then ripples of mercy. I'm not sure why I chose those words. They don't seem to make a lot of sense in some ways, but yet they do, of course, when I was thinking about this sermon. Principles of mercy. Number one, being merciful is the way to receive mercy. If you desire mercy for your mistakes, be merciful when others make a mistake. Be merciful when others make a mistake. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Micah 6:8 says that he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That is the requirement for you Christians. It was the requirement for the Old Testament saints. It is the requirement for you. One of the things that we need to do is to love mercy. Mercy is the foundation of true love. All acts of love flow from a heart of mercy. So today, to receive mercy, we need to be merciful. Now, we could ask a lot of practical questions there. But let's go on. Number two, there is a huge longing in every heart to be treated with mercy. Someone said that in every crib is the longing for mercy. And I believe that's right. When a child cries and he needs, and he's helpless, someone has to have mercy on them or they're not going to survive. It's just that simple. When a child cries and he needs food, he's got a problem with his diaper, he needs someone with mercy, someone with love, really. But you need mercy. We all need mercy. I've surely needed mercy. I needed mercy from God, and I needed mercy from a lot of other people too. You know, wives need mercy. You men, wives need mercy. And husbands need mercy. They do. They screw up sometimes. The wives burn supper. Or they forget about something and they need mercy. Jesus Church members are desperately depending on you to have mercy. Your fellow church members are desperately depending on you to have mercy. If we held everyone to justice all the time, there wouldn't be any one of us left. We need mercy. Child raising will not go well unless you dads have mercy. I promise you that. When you take out the paddle, it's the thing to do to give a spanking when they need a spanking. But unless you have mercy, it's not going to go well. It is crucial that mercy flows from our hearts, even when we are disciplining our children, or when a needful correction to our wife or husband, we must have mercy. We must portray mercy. We must always love and respond in mercy, or else say, "I'm sorry." Number 3, I would like to go to James 2 and verse 13. Go to James 2 with me in verse 13. The third point is this: showing no mercy means we can expect a judgment without mercy. Let's read James 2:13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Here's a crucial and important fact that we need to remember. You are going to receive judgment without mercy if you don't show mercy. One day, we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, stand before Christ. And he's going to look at us and said, "You clothed the needy, you fed the hungry, you so forth and so forth." And we'll probably read that later. But he say, "Come on in. Come on in. You were merciful." And to the other group that said, I didn't see anybody that needed anything," he's going to say, "Depart from me, ye wicked." Calls them wicked just because they weren't merciful, out into the lake of fire. Showing no mercy means we can expect a judgment without mercy. Let's go to Matthew 18. And start reading in verse 23. Matthew 18, that well-known scripture, and I'd like to read a lot of it again, part of it again, where it starts in verse, we'll start in verse 23, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened."
This is like the kingdom of heaven is right here. Likened unto a certain king which should take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which showed him 10,000 talents. Was for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payments to be made. What a desperate situation. Man was in debt. He owed this huge debt. But for as much as he had not to pay, not anything to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and make payments, get this debt paid. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all the debt. Wow. Wow. All that debt. That huge debt. But the same servant, which is you, the analogy is you and me, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, and went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that this was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked and slothful, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not have compassion on thy fellow servant as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, I would like to ask you the serious question. Do you appreciate God's forgiveness of your sins? Do you really appreciate God's forgiveness of your sins? Raise your hand. Let's get a little... Okay, everyone appreciates God's forgiveness of your sins. Now, have you taken your brother by the throat and say, pay me or else? Pay me or else I'm going to throw you into prison? Maybe not that extreme. What we say, all right, you have done this to me. I just won't be friendly to you. I won't forgive you. I have a bitter towards you. Think about your life. Have you forgiven others because you were forgiven? Just simply because you were forgiven. Not because that person finally got to a place where he was good enough for you, but you say, I forgive you because Christ forgave me. That, my friends, is mercy.
Mercy is clearly the underlying quality that lies beneath all true forgiveness. Every one of us here, as we said before, are in need of mercy and have this debt to our fellows. Mercy so often is the missing link. Mercy so often is, we can look so good as Mennonite people. We can dress in the right way. But mercy is the missing link to happy church life. Mercy is the missing link to happy church life. I just found so, I touched on this before, but I find it so serious. The last couple verses that I read. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, delivered the servant that wouldn't forgive and wouldn't have mercy, till he should pay all that was due him. An eternity with the tormentors because we failed to have mercy. Number four. Mercy includes the outcast and is more than a set of religious performance. So let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 10 through 13. Let's read this. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at the meat in the house of the... In the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and said unto him, and his disciples, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God loves religious people, I'm sure of that. But religious people without mercy are not what God wants. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Jesus identified with publicans and sinners. And then he told them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. People that are not in need of mercy are not my people. They that are whole, he was eating with publicans and sinners here, and these were the people that needed help. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. It wasn't in performance, religious performance. But dear ones, today it was in their mercy that they were accepted by Jesus. Dear ones, we must come to And we must be ever aware of our own desperate need. God's desire is that we have a heart of mercy with our religion and performance of our religion. Mercy includes outcasts, is more than a set of religious performance. A church that has performance without mercy is an empty church. Spiritually. Okay, I'd like to look at the character of a merciful person now. The second part of the message. And I'd like to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 15. I would like you to go there. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. The character of a merciful person. The character of a merciful person. Bowels of mercy, an inner disposition toward the benefit of others. We need to be in that, in bowels of mercy. Someone who has bowels of mercy is looking how to benefit others. To speak to another's need and mercy. Kindness. The gentleness and patience. Gentleness and patience to see a situation from another's perspective. That is mercy. Humbleness of mind, a modest reserve that believes the best in others. I ask you today, do you have that kind of mercy that you actually believe the best in others? That when they make a mistake and they seem to be so cantankerous, can you overcome that? To believe the best in others. Meekness. A humility that accepts a different point of view. There's differences in views here. There's differences in how we believe about justification. There's differences in how we believe about eschatology. There's differences in how we believe about children playing after church. There's all kinds of differences. We accept a different point of view. Long-suffering. Patience that allows time to conform. We lay down the law. We lay down the justice. And we say, 2 weeks or else. And all these things could be talked about more. Forgiving, to lay down a grievance against you. I lay this down, I have mercy and I lay down this issue that you have created with me. I just lay it down. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You can't really love someone until you are merciful to him. Then it goes on and says the church is one body because the peace of God is ruling in every heart when we have mercy. That's just a short description of the character of a merciful person. Now, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I want to go to the second part of the message. And I want to look at the ripples of a merciful heart. The ripples of a merciful heart. You know, you throw a stone into the water and the ripples keep going out. In church, it's much like that. The ripples of a merciful heart. It has an effect on others. I just have, for the first point on the ripples of a merciful heart, people love to go to church with a person with a merciful heart. People love to go to church with a merciful heart. You know, you can think about the two men that went up to the temple to pray. And the one said that, you know, I've done this and this. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. He was doing this with his suit coat. You see me here? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes all the time of all that I possess. And the other fellow was a poor brother. Didn't have all those things. He just said, I need mercy. I need mercy. We know what happened. That man went down justified. How about your critical spirit? Your critical spirit toward others. I ask you bluntly, do you have one? Sitting here in the pews, it's very likely that there's critical spirits floating around. Oh, we're okay on Sunday. But when it's Wednesday morning at work, we can develop a critical spirit. Or on Tuesday evening at the school board meeting. That's no mercy. This man that was puffing out his chest, Pharisee, he was a self-exalted man. My opinions are what matter. Dear ones, today, we need to respect the work of the school board and the trustees and the janitor and everyone else that's involved in church. We consult them in areas of their responsibility. I learned a long time ago as a bishop that the trustees have more authority over the building than I do. They have more authority to say when we're going to have fellowship dinners or whatever than I do. And I must submit. If everyone had a heart that says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, what kind of church life would we have? Huh? What kind of church life? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Another ripple, number two, is well-developed emotions and respect in our children are the result of a merciful environment and fair discipline from parents. All children have a sense of justice, and they can sense your spirit when you respond to them. severe verbal abuse must be confessed. It's that simple. Severe punishment. There is a huge difference in a spanking between a merciful, godly father and an angry father. That's a ripple of mercy. Number three. Having mercy on people will make you vulnerable. We live in a sex offender Me Too world where law and judgment is pronounced without a redeeming quality of mercy and redemption. Should we write off people who have become registered sex offenders? Or should we show them Christ's mercy? We could go to John 8, where the woman taken in adultery was brought before Jesus by a whole bunch of Pharisees. And Jesus didn't say much, but he stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. The Pharisees were saying, Moses' law condemns her. I don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground that day, but I think it was Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Lady, you need to forsake your way. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I believe that's what Jesus wrote on the ground. I'm not sure. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But I believe it was something like that. I just simply ask you, can people who have fell into serious sin expect mercy from the church and from each church member? God help us that we would express mercy. Fourthly, we're the hands and feet and embrace of God's mercy towards others. You know, the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite came and looked at him and they saw that dry blood and the gore and the smell. And they said, I'm out of here. I'm going on the other side of the road. And the Samaritan came to him and cleaned it up. And then Jesus asked the Pharisee that had said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, in essence, he said, well, we must do what mercy says us to do. He that showed mercy. There could be all kinds of things you could put into that Good Samaritan story about people that need mercy. Not just physical needs, but emotional needs. That is our job. And it makes us vulnerable. And we are the hands and feet of Jesus. The bottom line of all Christian experience is to have a heart of mercy. That is the most important. To demonstrate mercy, we make ourselves vulnerable. I was thinking about that verse one night. I was down here at the children's club, and we saw all the people coming in there that needed mercy. And it kind of took me out of my comfort zone. Like, her? Yeah, Jesus said her. You know, the Good Samaritan could have said, while he was fixing him up, he said, "Why were you traveling alone anyways? Why were you traveling at night or whatever?" But he fixed him up. What should I do to inherit eternal life? That's the answer of the Jewish lawyer. The answer is this: show mercy. Show mercy. When we get to the judgment of God, we are going to be judged on our mercy, not on our performance so much, but on our mercy towards others. What it says in Matthew 25, let's be faithful in mercy to our fellows and to our brethren. Let's pray.